This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
On today's show, how to tell if you're addicted to food and what to do about it. Welcome to Inside Out Weight Loss. I'm your host, Renee Stevens, and together we're on a journey into your subconscious mind, through your weight struggle, and out the other side. What's our destination? Naturally slim and healthy living for every body, every shape, and every background. But take notice, this journey isn't about diet and exercise, and it has some serious positive side effects. It is about learning to love and care for you from the inside out, with a side effect of waking up to and deeply enjoying the rest of your life. It's all about what I call sharing your soul's gifts. Ready? Then let's go. You may know by now that I like to begin each podcast, given that we're going deep into your subconscious mind, by allowing you, inviting you, enticing you to go ahead and drop inside, become more and more present in your own body. You know, that thing that's with you wherever you go, the arms, the legs, the hands, the fingers, the toes, the whole deal. There's a torso in there, all sorts of goodies in there. Remember what it feels like to be in a body, to have a body, to have feelings in a body, to feel how it feels to eat in a body, what it feels like to be hungry. Lots of interesting things to notice in your own body. So how about taking a little bit of time just to become present within it? Collect your awareness, your consciousness, and imagine bringing it back down deep inside of your own body. Now, if you're driving or operating heavy machinery, I recommend that you listen to this at a time when you can relax more fully and safely, so that you are alert and aware to do what you need to do. And assuming that you're in a place and a situation where it is safe for you to sink down even deeper now inside, I invite you to go ahead and do that, simply noticing what's already there, noticing what it's like. You can take a deep inhalation and ride the wave of it down within you. With each exhalation, you can release any tension or tightness. You could even imagine inhaling positive, renewing, and refreshing energy, and exhaling anything that's no longer needed. Any toxins, any waste products, any tension or tightness, just release it back down into the earth. Allow it to be recycled, composted, used productively. Earth is pretty darn good at that. And just imagine that as this podcast continues, for your listening enjoyment, each breath that you take relaxes you further and takes you deeper down inside, even long after you've forgotten to notice your breath. Which is the beautiful thing, of course, about breath, is that it's there when you notice it and allows you to control it or to modify it. And it's also there when you're not thinking, just keeps on going. So we'll just set that up on auto renew. And you can go ahead and set your intention for this episode and this week of your journey. You can even ask yourself, what would make the biggest positive difference in my life for me? And when you have an answer, you can allow that to be your intention. Say, my intention is, be sure and state it in the positive, by the way, what you want rather than what you don't want, because then you're much more likely to get it when you state it in the positive. And just let that be. Because I wanted to talk to you today about food addiction. Funny how we've never really talked about addiction as a thing before, have we? We've talked all about how to change, and I never use the word addiction, not that I can remember. May have slipped out from time to time. But let's face it, many of you probably think and feel and believe that you're addicted to food. Or you're curious, am I addicted to food? Well, I, for one, was addicted to food, I can tell you that much. I'm no longer addicted to food, which is really the place you want to be, in my humble opinion. Before we go there, can I just share with you this delightful little post I got on my Facebook wall this morning? This one's from Ove Hellman, and he writes, I want to thank you for your free IOWL podcast. I've lost 16 kilos over the past 3 years. And for those more inclined to pounds, that's probably 37, 38-ish pounds, something like that. He writes, my weight before was like a yo-yo. It went up and down. And the last 3 years, it's gone down in stages. First 7 kilos, then 3 kilos. And within the last 6 months, 6 kilos. I use your tools daily and often listen to your podcast, and especially the Sabotage Self-Sabotage guided journey. He finds that very effective. And he's only a few kilos away from his natural weight. He says, thanks again for being a great contribution to humans and life. Love, Ove. Well, that is super sweet and such a delight to receive, because on days when I'm going to podcast, it's a nice reminder of why I do it. A little motivation boost for me, which is very sweet, because that is what it's all about. So let's get into it. Let's get into this addiction stuff. I know it seems like a heavy topic, ha ha ha, and it can be. But let's think for a moment about what addiction is. What would food addiction be? Now, my pal John Mendelsohn, MD, is actually an addiction researcher, and he calls it use with harm. Now, John is mainly focused on drug addiction, pretty much exclusively. So if you're using drugs and causing yourself harm, then that's pretty much addiction, according to that definition. So let's apply that to food and see what happens. Use with harm. Well, gosh, that's kind of expansive, wouldn't you say? I think a lot of us qualify under that one. Use of food with harm. Well, if you're compromising your health, if your blood pressure is high, if your cholesterol is high, if you've got too big a waist for heart health, then I'm thinking there's harm. Certainly, if you're eating to the point of feeling sick, there's harm, but there's also this more run-of-the-mill stuff, like eating a Big Mac. And if you want to know what that does to your body, just watch Super Size Me. Oh my goodness. So what else? Other definitions of addiction talk about things like withdrawal symptoms. So if you have it and then suddenly you stop having it, you get withdrawal symptoms. I had those when I stopped eating sugar. Headaches, shakes, misery, and grumpiness. Because I was going from a mostly, almost all sugar diet to no sugar. It was a nice dramatic change I did. No moderate steps for me. So the question is, would you have withdrawal symptoms if you stopped overeating or eating the foods that you might be addicted to? And if the answer is yes, well, that's another tick mark suggesting that the definition or the name addiction might fit. All right, well, let's look again at drug addiction. And what do we think when we think drug addiction, especially illegal drug addiction? We think, well, gosh, you know, those people, they will do anything to get their drug. They will beg, borrow, cheat, steal, crawl over the suffering bodies of their loved ones for a fix. Such is the hold of the drug. So let's think about it. What would you do for a fix of your favorite foods? Would you crawl over the suffering bodies of your loved ones? Well, maybe not. I don't know. But would you push ahead in line to get the last chocolate chip cookie at a buffet table? Would you sneak it before anybody else notices or gets it? Would you hide food or eat in secret? And finally, do you guard your stash like a mama tiger and her cubs? In other words, your stash is like your cubs. Well, that would be another tick mark if you say yes to that. And all of these things are suggesting that, yeah, the definition, addiction, the name might work for you, might apply. I know it did for me. Now, the challenge with the name, the word addiction, is that it brings a whole lot of baggage with it. It's just loaded with judgment and emotional stuff. You know, like out of control, helplessness. Will be that way for life. I used to raise my hand, you guys know this, when I was an Overeaters Anonymous, and every meeting I went to, which was a lot, I would raise my hand and say, "Hi, I'm Renee, a compulsive overeater." The idea being that once a compulsive overeater, always for the rest of my life, I would be a compulsive overeater. That's what I call a limiting belief. Because, well, I'm not a compulsive overeater anymore. Been there, done that. I am on the next highway now. And so, by the way, are lots of you listeners to this podcast. Because like Ove, you message me and you let me know. I love to hear that stuff. So here's the deal. If you feel like you are addicted, then it's worthwhile finding out your beliefs around addiction. What does it mean about you? You could write, "being addicted means," and then just free flow from there. It's a good way to ferret out all of those limiting beliefs tucked away, those judgments that can actually be a huge part of the problem. In other words, what we believe about the problem makes the problem persist. I know you're probably thinking, "No, physical addiction is different, Renee." I know what you're thinking, and we'll get there right after a break. You're listening to Inside Out Weight Loss on Personal Life Media. This is your host, Renee Stevens, and we'll be right back. I know many of you have listened to this podcast for years. I've been creating weekly episodes since 2007, available for free. It has truly been a labor of love and deep gratitude that so many find it so helpful and freeing. You know, my mission is to eradicate the weight struggle from the planet, and I'm delighted that I'm making a contribution. Now, I have a favor to ask of you. My first book, Fulfilled, the 6-week weight loss plan for changing your relationship with food and your life from the inside out, is now available for pre-sales. It's the whole inside out weight loss program in a step-by-step, easy-to-follow, easy-to-read, detailed program. My dream is for it to make the bestseller list because if it does, so many more people will become aware of it. And we'll be making huge progress in my mission. It turns out that pre-sales are key to making the bestseller list. The goal, to sell 10,000 plus copies by the first week of January. To do this, I need your help. If you plan to buy the book, could you please buy it now? You'll be among the very first to get it. And if you like Inside Out Weight Loss, could you please start to talk about the book Fulfilled online, on blogs, Facebook, Twitter, Spark People, wherever you go. Say whatever comes from the heart, short or long, encouraging others to check it out. The more people you reach, the more people we reach, and the more my mission becomes a reality. And as a thank you, I've got some wonderful bonus gifts for anyone who pre-orders. Visit my website at insideoutweightloss.com for the details. with much love and gratitude. It's me, Renee. We're back now. Before the break, we were talking about beliefs being part of the addiction problem. Now, I didn't say all of it. There's physical addiction too, but the beliefs can really lock it in place. But before we go too far down the belief path, because, you know, we've spent some time in the past talking about belief change, just did a series on it several months ago. You can look at the archives at personallifemedia.com/IOWL for Inside Out Weight Loss to access those all for free. Let's look a little bit more at addiction. Now, another MD who I think is pretty darn cool was a chap named Carl Jung. Maybe you've heard of him, kind of famous guy, one of the famous dead people. In fact, Jung was a pretty darn cool dude. And way, way the heck ahead of his time. Anyway, few people know this, but Jung was actually involved in the founding, or he was part of the story of the founding of Alcoholics Anonymous, which was, of course, the first of the 12-step programs, extremely popular, and enduring model for the treatment of alcohol addiction. So Jung was treated this friend of Bill W. Bill W. was the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, and his buddy had really gotten himself into a lot of trouble with his drinking, ended up in Austria working with Jung. Left Austria, did okay, then relapsed, went back, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, so Jung's writing letters. Remember those things, pen and paper, back in the olden days? And here's what he has to say about this buddy of Bill W. He says, his craving for alcohol was the equivalent on a low level of the spiritual thirst of our being for wholeness, expressed in medieval language, the union with God. So here you have it. Here's Carl Jung saying that addiction is a spiritual thirst for, well, spirits. It's a desire for the union with God. Alcoholics Anonymous and 12-step programs, as you may know, are big on spiritual belief, not on religion per se, but on believing in a power greater than ourselves. That thirst, that deep yearning that we have is really a spiritual yearning, a yearning to unite with the divine. Now, this may seem kind of airy-fairy to you if you're, like beloved members of my family, atheistic. There might be something to this. Because if you've had a craving, and I know you have because you're listening, you know how attached we can get to our cravings and how we feel like only the thing that we're craving, the cookie, the cake, the ice cream, the potato chips, whatever it is, only that can satisfy you, nothing else. Well, if that's the case, that is what I would call a big kahuna of a desire. That's a big one. Pretty darn absolute sounding. Of all of the pleasures and delights of life, only the cookie can solve it. And does the cookie solve it? Well, it kind of does in the instant, in the moment, until a little time goes by and then that harm piece starts showing its ugly self. We start to feel over full, or we have a blood sugar crash. The other day, I did have a craving, a big old craving for a chocolate chip cookie. It's true. Haven't had one for a long time, but there it was. So what do you think I did? Did I A, tap on it? B, say 25 Hail Marys? C, remind myself that I'm so much better than the cookie and rise above it all? Or D, go and buy a really great cookie and eat it. Yes, I did option D. I went and got the best cookie that was convenient to me and enjoyed every bite of it. And then, about 2 hours later, I had a blood sugar crash. And I'm thinking, wow, this really stinks. Why do I feel so yucky? And then I thought, oh, right, it was that cookie. So now I merged the memory of the craving for the cookie with the memory of the yucky blood sugar crash and have no desire, zero desire, to do the cookie thing again. Not that I never will, I may, but at the moment, and for the last while, I don't have any desire. So how is it that I'm telling my cookie story? Oh, right, we're talking about addiction. We think nothing's better than the cookie. So what I'm saying is, if you think that nothing's better than the cookie or the cake or the pastry or whatever it is, the candy bar, then you suffer from an acute failure of imagination. Now, let me remind you that I don't believe in failure, so I can't call it an acute failure because there's no such thing as failure, only feedback. And my feedback to you is this. You have stuffed your imagination inside of a cookie wrapper, and it is dying to get out and show you the town. If you think that nothing could be better, then it's time to imagine a bit more, a bit bigger. And here's the deal with imagination. You don't need to put restraints on it. You say, well, what could be better in that moment than a cookie? I had a client say this to me the other day. I could tell she was being nice to me and going along with stuff and wanting to say that she had been successful. But I could hear in her voice and I could see in her eyes that she just wasn't buying it. She just wasn't going to give up her sweets and her food. She just loves that stuff. It's like, yeah, we can tap all the way around this, but this core thing, there's just no way I'm letting go of that. I'll say to Renee anything she wants to hear, but this is mine. You know, the lioness with the cubs thing. So here's how you're going to imagine. The first thing you're going to do is remove the constraint that it has to be possible. And it has to be possible for you. Those are two constraints. Remove both of those constraints. So what am I talking about here? If you think nothing could be better than the food in that moment, then you have to think, but if something were better, if it really were better, well, then that would be pretty great. Even though I don't believe it, I don't know what it could be. I have no idea. It doesn't seem to exist. And if it does exist, it is more than likely not possible for me. But if there were something even better than the food and the sweets and the salties and the comfort stuff, and I liked it even better in every way, would I be open to upgrading? Well, yeah, I would. So that's what I want you to think about as your homework this week. If there were something even better than food, even though I can't imagine what it would be, even though I don't even believe that it's possible, and if it is possible, it's certainly not possible for me, but if there were something, what would that be like? And we will pick up from here in the next episode of Inside Out Weight Loss. That brings us to the end of our show today. Thank you for being present. Visit my website at insideoutweightloss.com. Friend me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter. Join the Yahoo group. There are lots of things to do, and it all starts at insideoutweightloss.com. This is your host, Renee Stevens, and I am on a mission to eradicate the weight struggle from the planet, enabling you to develop and share your abundant soul's gifts. Join me as we evolve the world by evolving ourselves. Take good care.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.